Chicago. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Sonny Banks Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We're sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We've got a full house. Will Braveman of Braveman Law is in the house. How are you, Will?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, always a pleasure. Sonny Banks, our host, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Joe. Another big win this weekend, huh?
Another big win, and we are going to talk about that big win. We do have a special guest in the house, Mitch Zibik of Weinemann Pain and Wellness, who is the practice manager there. And what's great about Mitch, and I've known him for years, awesome singer, and will be leading us in the national anthem. Ready? Should we? Well, how are we going to work that?
You say you can hum it.
Mitch, how
I'm
are you, sir?
I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to see everybody and meet everybody. And let's go on with the show.
All right, let's do it. And we have Alexis in the house. Alexis Crandall, soon to be Alexis Crandall.
Fuchel.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting
not
that out there.
Not a big fan of his last name, but
whatever.
Yeah. You know,
he's a fantastic guy. He's a good looking, smart guy.
He's the best. He's the best.
He is the best.
Yeah.
And let's get him on the line. So we're going to talk a little sports, and it is awesome to have Mitch in the house. We do shout you out. I don't know if you...
You do. At the end, I always get a shout out.
That's right.
Especially when you bring treats.
He does. And if I wasn't... I'm on the carnivore diet, which has been a major... I don't even know. Can't even believe we're still on it 6 weeks in. But
carnivore diet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which means...
Sounds like it's made up, but go ahead.
No, it's
have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's all meat.
Yeah.
Really?
It's what, you know, how like in the jungle, the animals that...
Right.
And they're all in good shape, right? You know, see...
Does that include bacon?
Yes, it does. But here's the problem with that. You know, and my wife isn't the dentist right now. And so since she's there and she's not listening, I can say this. But the problem with the carnivore diet in some cases is it costs a real lot of money unless you're going to be eating crap meats. I'm fortunate lately that I've been doing okay. And I've been able to control my appetite, which has been cool. So, we'll eat two meals a day. But if you're eating lunch meat and hot dogs, man, for one meal, and you're eating a steak at night, steak's cool. But eventually, I don't even want to see chicken wings. I'm not even joking with you. Mm. So, but we're on it. It's going to take us a long time because we didn't build these habits up overnight. But speaking of habits.
So does it take a while for your body to adjust to all that meat?
They say, but it's super healthy for you, apparently. It makes you, feel, you have a ton of energy.
What happens is that the carbs, you don't eat a lot of the stuff that you normally do. My wife said about a month and a half ago, let's get on it and just whatever. And I was desperate. I can't go on something if she's not on it, okay? Yeah. So if she's not, I mean, she's got pretzels right there. Well, guess what? Those pretzels are,
sure.
It's going to be two bowls. So we're hanging in there. Now, let's kind of segue a little bit into what happened yesterday with the Eagles. Okay. And by the way, this, when you hear, we're not sports radio here, but when you hear us talk, the first thing you got to think is they're 11-2. They're never happy. They're for typical Philadelphia fans.
Sure.
But really what it is in many cases is we only care about the last game. So it's, in other words, winning that last game and you're sitting there and you're going, can we really do it? That team that we played yesterday was way better than their record. They took KC down to the last minute. Mm-hmm. They took Tampa Bay down to the last minute. They lost on a field goal. So that team was fantastic. And I'll tell you what, I'm so happy for that quarterback, that kid.
Yeah.
Because he was going down that alley of one. He had already lost his job.
Right.
Okay. He reminds me of Fran Tarkenton, for crying out loud. 5'10", can't catch him. And all that. And the only really bad throw he had all game, wasn't even bad, was the last throw of the game that took him too long to get it to Thielen.
Sure.
But any Mitch, I'll let you go first.
I think that was actually a catch. It was ruled incomplete.
Are you talking about the touchdown?
The last play of the game where they got to the 2 yard line, 1 yard line.
Okay.
When I saw that, I said they're done.
Yeah.
The problem is that what I heard on this talk show this morning, and I'll make it brief, was that even though we had 200 yards rushing the ball yesterday, that the quarterback's play the last three games is going the reverse way.
Okay.
Okay, and 88 yards for one game
Well,
is crazy.
Yeah. So
for a $250 million quarterback.
Okay.
Exactly.
So we got some friends in the building here, right? Who are you know? And I'd like to, because I want to know what's going on with Hurts, because he's not the same quarterback he was 3 years ago. Now, what's interesting about it is when they show that weird view, the weird from behind Hurts, mm-hmm. those guys don't look open. So I'm wondering if it's passing scheme or not. Well, what are your thoughts?
I think a big part of it is passing scheme. I mean, A.J. Brown did a press conference yesterday. He was furious that a ball didn't get thrown to him on the touchdown. And I think that what you're looking at is a team that is focused right now on having Saquon beat the record. Okay, that's become a focus for them.
Which he did, I think.
I'm talking about Dickerson's
NFL
record.
Okay, the NFL.
I'm talking about Dickerson's record, which right. if he averages like 120 a game, I think it's like 483 yards in four games remaining, he'll do, right? So they're focused on that. And when you combine that with we run the ball better, right, you get to they've transitioned Jalen to more of a game manager quarterback. That's just the reality. And I think that that's part of it. And they wanted to protect the ball, and he has been protecting the ball really nicely, and we've been winning games. We're 11-2. So to that end, they're right about that. But it retards his development in terms of a passing quarterback. If we get down 20 in a game, we're cooked because he doesn't have experience getting us back in the game like that. Like, we need to have, like, the Goffs and, the gunslingers of our league.
Well, you know, one thing that a good running attack, and it's so rare these days. And man, I coach running backs in high school. I love the position. I mean, I have, and it's scary. I even hesitate to say this because you think of the great running backs in our history, the Barry Sanders, obviously the Walter Paytons. Go with O.J. Simpson. He was, if you watch, I mean, just unbelievable. You look at Adrian Peterson and those guys. Mm-hmm. Peterson might be the closest. Okay, but Jim Brown, he's still unparalleled. You know, he'd be, I mean, there's a guy 6'1", 230, who could outrun anybody and run anybody.
Do it all.
I don't care if he's playing today or then, but this guy has such a rare talent set, okay, of speed. It reminded me when you've been to a high school game, okay, you see, on occasion, you'll see a player on the other team who's an All-American, okay, running back, and I can say, and you look at them, and you're like, they're only one hole away from breaking one, and it's just unbelievable. You know they're going to hit it. You don't see that on a pro level anymore. Okay, this guy, Saquon Barkley, it looks like he's playing in a high school game. In the NFL, there's no one that is one play away, and like in a high school game, from breaking it. Like, he was, that if those D-backs don't tackle him, he's gone.
It's like a video game.
Right.
It is. It's.
He had a couple plays yesterday where he was inches away from
Inches away.
One or two plays. But, just to digress also, when we had Sanders here, I remember Sanders played behind him at Penn State.
Yes.
Right? I thought Sanders was a better back than Barkley because of his injury. He was more prone to injury when he was playing for New York. You know that for the next four games, no matter what happens to him, he's playing the next four games.
Sure.
Well, it's interesting, though, that point, okay? First of all, hold on, I got a text here. Alexis Crandall.
I knew this was coming. I knew it.
Keep your mouth shut. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I knew this was Mitch.
I can't say the curse words.
Signed who?
Yeah.
It says AC.
Yeah.
it's interesting when you think about this dude, right? And first of all, who right now, wants to be the Giants, a general manager on the Giants, even though, theoretically speaking, and this is to your point, Mitch, he's been hurt a lot, but it may seriously be because the offensive line wasn't there, and they probably was. But for the amount of money they got him for, they could, just to get him off the market, they could just sign the guy. Like, who cares? Just don't let him go to the Eagles.
Right.
And we all saw that. We all saw the Hard Knocks when the owner of the owner of the Giants said, "Guys, you know, I'm going to lose some sleep if you know." And right now, it's a PR nightmare of epic proportions. Whether the Giants, whether he would have been hurt again, because he was hurt a lot, because he was getting beat up like a pinball.
Right.
But
it's like the same reason we watch the Dallas games to watch them lose.
Yeah.
We like watching that video because you get a twofer. You know, the Giants lost out on him. They made that stupid mistake, and that video went viral. And now we're all just like, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when you think about the Eagles and the Giants, and we've, you know, all were all in that era when we were all growing up. I never disliked the Giants, ever. Why? Because while Dallas and Washington, and there was no free agency, was smoking us every year, they were getting smoked with us. Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals, right? So Dallas, yeah. Now that, people who hate Dallas in the city, the young people, don't even know why we hate them, right? In other words, they had Roger Staubach and, you know, who was it?
Drew Pearson.
Bob Lilly and all those guys and all those guys. Every year, Drew Pearson, like, we couldn't get out of the way, right? We didn't have as good an organization as they did, right? And they had the guy with the hat, Landry, on the side. So, but you can imagine why the Giants hate us. Before we won a Super Bowl, thank God. Before we won a Super Bowl, if I was ever, you know, down or whatever, I could always turn on DeSean Jackson and the Miracle in the Meadowlands too. And
did you see the Miracle in the Meadowlands one?
Oh,
did you watch it as a kid?
Yes, my brother remembers me and my dad.
I watched it too. I remember watching. I remember where I was. I remember what I did. You guys are too young, both of you.
The Herm Edwards play.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Alexis wasn't even alive. She saw. She's a lot older than you think. So my brother brought that play up the other day. Me and my dad and my brother would watch the games every week. He said to me the other day, because it's been so long, I don't even remember getting up. I mean, I've seen it. I feel like I was watching it because we've seen it so many times. But he said, I remember you and dad got up and I was the only one in front of the TV, right? And so, so you can imagine. So our niece Lauren is married to a guy named Joey Santiago, a veteran, a phenomenal guy, a better human being you're not going to get. Unfortunately, he's from North Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. And his birthday was the Miracle in the Meadowlands too. And one thing leads to another. He was at that game, right? I mean, literally speaking, our Super Bowls were you can see why they hate us. You know, the Brian Westbrook punt return, Herm Edwards, across the board, and then the Miracle on the Meadowlands. So the year after we won the Super Bowl, we were stinking it up for a couple weeks, and then playing the Giants, getting smoked, and then we came back and won of all teams. And that led us on the second run. He burned all of his on video. He burned all of his Giants on, and I'm like, believe me when I'll text her during the game when the Eagles are beating the Giants or whatever. How's things going over there? And her answer always is, it's going great for me. So anyway, we'll see what happens. We're hoping that.
So do we have an answer to the Eagles pass game?
Well, let's go to our resident expert, Alexis Crandall. What do you think?
What?
About the Eagles passing game. How are we getting out of this thing? How are we going to build it back up? I got another text. Wait a second.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't ask me stupid questions.
Yeah, that's not a good question for me, to be honest.
What's weird for me is, Mitch, we do have fun.
You just started watching football 3 weeks
no,
ago.
No, I didn't. Give her a break. No, I watched the game, I watch all of the games. It's just. I don't know. You never know with them. That's kind of where I was going.
What's weird for me is watching him sit on the bench. You know how all the other quarterbacks come to the game and are sitting on the bench with the notepad and all, like the computer? He just stares out there. He's got the weirdest look on his face.
Right.
And he's one of the most talented human beings. I wonder what the hell's going on.
Well, you have to consider. You have to also consider in his reign, he's been with the Eagles 4 years now, I think. Maybe five. I don't remember. But they've won every time. Look at the coach's record, okay, since he took over the team.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, we watch the games, we go to the games, whatever it might be, and every week, for the most part, 75% of the games, they've won. What other team in the last 5 years could say that?
It is an interesting point. And and when you think about that, you look at Sirianni's record, but
the talent. It's all about the talent.
And Howie's incredible. But you mentioned that, and yet 3 to 4 weeks ago, Sirianni was in danger of getting fired. True. Before he hit the, you know, like you look at the
play calls.
Right, sitting there going for two. He's not doing that right now. No. I don't think he'd go for two if we needed it, right?
No.
But how much is the guy making?
I mean, I don't know what coaches make, a few million a year, three. Yeah. I mean,
anybody know what he's making? His initial contract, it was probably a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
And he's probably being underpaid.
Yeah.
Because of his record.
Right. Well, and right now, but you know, thankfully he's definitely matured there. I just, before we go, I just want to say one word, okay? And this is, you know, going to end on a real nerve wracking note. Jake, I'll say two words. Jake Elliott. What the hell's going on?
He's running a bad time.
I said
time.
That to him, yeah.
He's running a bad time. That's all.
Nick Sirianni makes $7 million per year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a lot more than I thought he was making.
Me too.
I have an answer to your question, and I'm going to attribute this to something I heard Seth Joyner say earlier today.
I love
the way. There was a Jacksonville game earlier this year. And there was a chance for Jake Elliott to kick a field goal.
And he didn't
50.
Do it.
And Sirianni didn't let him
do it.
Okay. And, you know, it's such a psychological position to play in the NFL. And at that point, if you're Jake Elliott, you're questioning yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's in your head. And since that game, I think he's 0-4, 0-5, plus 50. He hasn't made a field goal over 50 yards, and that Jacksonville field goal was a 50-yarder. So I think there's a psychological piece. There's a coach doesn't have confidence in me piece.
Right.
I think Seth Joyner said that he watched his coach had watched his planting foot, and his planting foot is in a different spot than it used to be. So two schools of thought. One is they deactivate him and they get a new kicker. And then the other one is they just ride it out and they're not kicking 50 yarders, you know. So we'll see.
Shame, because
he's been incredible.
Jake the Make.
Yeah. I mean,
I love him. He seems just like
totally
too.
Agree.
Yeah, but look at the Ravens. They're having the same.
I know.
With the greatest kicker of all time.
Exactly.
Yeah, literally.
It is an odd. You know,
the one he missed yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, was I don't know if anybody was at the game yesterday, but it was very windy. Okay, so I think the wind had something to do with it, and that's why they went for 2 points later on instead of kicking the one.
By the way,
they missed a couple 1-pointers.
To Will's point there, that really has to, you know, when they decide on an extra point, you know, to go for two, you missed one, like Mitch just said, it's so we got some decisions, and they're starting to really question. You know, what's going on with Hurts because of the last 4 weeks he hasn't gotten over. Only two times in the last 6 weeks has he thrown over. And I love him in a sense. I mean, I loved him when the year he started and was doing great. The thing that really got me with Hurts was one of the great moments was when he was walking off the field in Washington and those kids and that people were leaning on the fence and it fell down and they fell off there.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he did not run from it. He went and helped them all up.
Yeah.
Took pictures with them and all. Like they fell like 7, 8, maybe 10 feet. Oh, man, I'm sure it was over 10 feet. And like he ran right towards them. He didn't run away like he was a prima donna. And he did a lot of things. Now, one of the things about being a quarterback in the NFL, when you're a runner, and we've seen it happen. I don't think maybe Jackson. Okay, Lamar Jackson is. Beating this myth, but nobody has lasted. No one.
No.
Who can, you know, RG3 was the number. That guy, when he was a rookie, it was like a man amongst boys. He was crushing people.
He was.
Next year, and he never played well again because eventually those athletes in the NFL are flat out killers.
Yeah. Cam Newton.
Oh, my. Cam Newton.
Newton was a big guy. He was
big.
A 6'4", 6'5 guy. I mean, our quarterback. He ran yesterday, had that big busted play. He ran for like 40 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't slide. He took a head nose. He went forward. I think he wanted to score a touchdown.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because he is also doing those tush pushes, and man, like a lot, they'll talk about he squats 600 pounds. Guess what? It's still got to take a toll on you, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, Jason Kelsey, right? I mean— So anyway, listen, we've made our sports. This has been Sports Talk here on the Sonic Bank Show.
Has anybody ever called Sports Talk Radio to talk to them? In this
well,
room?
They're in the building, so you could see.
I know, but have any of you guys ever called to talk to
them? I have not.
I never have.
No? I have.
You have?
Yeah.
And were you on the air?
I was.
Yeah. I was. That's so cool. I've thought about it many times listening to people, and I thought about calling, but I never did it.
97.5 is in the building. So, by the way, I'm proud to say that Bill Colarulo, who was one of their guys, started his career off at the, right where Will Braverman's at right now. He did a show with us. And he was looking to connect with somebody. I sent him over. He was so good. He was a lawyer. Colarulo and
Cohen.
No, in Jersey. He's in Jersey.
And Cohen.
It's Grungo and Colarulo. And so now it's just Grungo Law. If you're driving down the shore, you see
There's signs. I see
all
signs.
The way through.
Yeah,
right. That's right.
I live down the shore. I live in Margate.
Okay.
So I drive up and back 4 days a week. So I see all the signs on the express.
You see them. And so he used to be he sold his law firm, and now he's right now on air. On 97.5. Now, I'm not saying it's all me.
It was all you, Joe.
It's interesting
it's
background.
All me, right? All hold you. On, I got another text.
I went to I went to school with Howard Eskin, and I used to hang out with him.
Yeah. Well, Howard's he's on the sidelines with the Eagles.
He's on Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Spike is great.
Yeah.
Spike's incredible. I listen to Spike
very
all
smart
the time.
Guy.
So and his podcast.
I talked to a couple of those guys, and I did a show called Fans Interference at one time for a year. I got to tell you this. I'll tell you this. Sports talk is no joke. You got to be up on those on national. Like especially you're in Philly, everybody's knowledgeable. It's not just if it's the Eagles show. Those guys on 97.5 right now are talking about every sport. You could sit there and talk hockey, and I'm talking about like Quebec versus the Canadians.
Sure. The players,
they got to know how to
pronounce their names. You got to know their stats.
Yeah,
history.
So if you're
college players, you got to know the college players.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like these guys are no joke. I did it for 1 year. We only did it every week. It was called Fans Interference, and I can tell you this: I would study. The show was at 5 o'clock. I would study. I'd get up at 7 a.m. And all day I would study till 4 o'clock till I got to the studio, and we did it live at McFadden's at the ballpark. Oh. And my God, I mean, it was we did the NBA draft. We had a number of the big players on, but it was nerve wracking in the sense that you don't want to not know anything. You're on Philadelphia radio, so shout out to those guys. I talked to one of the top guys who was legendary in the city, and he told me he studies 2 hours for every hour he's on the air.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's because you can't. He said it's a nightmare not knowing. Obviously in Philly sports, in Philly sports radio. So let's go around the horn and talk a little medicine and law. And we have someone who's running, who's going to be, and we're confident he's going to be one of our great judges.
Absolutely.
But he's also a great lawyer and have a great firm in the city of Philadelphia. But we'll go to our host first. Sonny, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Sonny Banks. I'm the owner of Banks Law. It's a boutique law firm in Center City, Philadelphia. We do only disability law, which includes Social Security disability, veterans benefits, long-term and short-term disability, and we do some PA workers' compensation. So we've been in business since June of 2013.
Fantastic. Will, if you will, about yourself and the firm?
Sure. Will Braverman, Braverman Law. I'm a solo practitioner, primarily focused on labor and employment. I'm a designated union attorney for the last 14 years for DC 33 Local 696, about a 1,200 member group of municipal workers. I also do a little bit of PI and a couple of other things, but primarily labor and employment. Thanks for having me.
And if you will, Alexis Crandall, a little bit about yourself and Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Yeah, so I'm the director of marketing for Weinerman Pain and Wellness. We handle physical therapy, chiropractic care. We also have pain management, and we recently just added a psychologist onto our team.
And you handle cases of work injuries and personal injuries?
Yeah, so our practice specializes in cases that are only represented by lawyers. Personal injury cases and workers' compensation cases as well.
Fantastic. Having said that, well, Mitch, I know you're just here to observe, but you want to jump in there at all just to You've been.
I'm always at a loss of words when everybody asks me to speak, or even if they don't ask me to speak, I still talk. I've been with Weinerman Pain and Wellness, running the practice, co-running the practice with another gentleman, but now I'm solely running it. And I've been there about 7 years, I guess. Weinerman's been in business for a long time in different locations. But at this current location at the 17th and JFK Boulevard, 1 Penn Center, we've been there 5 years, and hopefully we'll be there another five.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about it is, and anybody who, and we've talked about it with Dr. Weinerman, and I have been there many times. We've had a great relationship, and you've supported and sponsored a lot of our broadcasts. Dr. Weinerman, and I've seen the staff jumping up and down because he spent so much time with his patients.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're not talking about a situation where people are going in and...
Most doctors spend 10 or 15 minutes per visit. Dr. Weinerman spends an hour.
He's invested in his clients, yes. And it's, you know, it's a... specialized area of the law, and we've talked about it many times.
And the thing I like most about the practice being a lawyer is that it's one-stop shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Weinerman does the evaluation, you got the therapy, you got the chiropractic treatment, you got the pain management, and you've got psychological treatment if you need it.
Well, just a minute on a psychological treatment, that is a specialty that is somewhat rare and much needed in the industry.
Yeah.
Talk about that, if you would, Alexis.
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it from the moment we brought her on, is that all pain is not seen, and it's super important, I think, for cases, because when you're hurt, especially at work, you're not, you know, receiving compensation most of the time, your normal compensation, or sometimes if your claim is denied and you're not getting any money, you're at a very low point in your life, especially if we see a lot of people who are like the breadwinners of the family.
Sure.
And I think that she comes in and she's someone to talk to. It's not just before we brought her on, I think I was a little confused between a psychologist and a...
Psychiatrist,
yeah. Right. So the psychologist...
By the way, I've seen many of them at the, you know, and they, yeah. I know the definite fine line.
She talks to them, where psychiatry is just medicine.
It's medical, yeah. And... It's interesting that you say that, especially around this time of year.
Yeah, they need someone to talk to, and I think it's super. We've had her in person once so far. She does telemed as well, but she's also been in the office, and all of them have responded really well. I think each person got better. Each patient that went in and came out, their responses were better, honestly. And yeah. I'm super happy that she's on board on our team, and I'm excited to see where she takes us.
There's not a doctor out there that's worth their salt that'll deny that chronic pain has a psychiatric component.
Yep.
Every patient that suffers with chronic pain has a psychiatric component.
So, having said that, it is a very celebratory time of year and all those things, but it's an emotional time of year, okay? And you know, Alexis, I don't think you could have said it any better. Okay, it's a fantastic time of year, but not for everybody. And in this particular area, your clients, okay, and I know you do personal injury as well. Well, but it can be a very difficult and lonely time on top of those types of situations.
And I'm sure Will attest to this. Around the holidays, the settlements go up, and I think the settlements go up because people are in desperate straits and they want to do right by their families.
Yeah.
I mean, how conscious do you have to be of that, Will, especially now? Because you're not only a legal counselor, you're often a personal counselor.
That's right. One of the positions I have a pleasure to serve in is I'm actually defense counsel in mental health civil commitment proceedings, 302s. 4 days a month, I'm appointed by the First Judicial District to do cases at Friends Hospital. And what I can tell you is I see that spike during the holiday season every year. And there are more patients, there are more serious patients in terms of the level of the conduct that they're engaging in being more life-threatening on a more frequent basis. And I think that a big part of what sets people off on the holidays, and certainly I think probably everyone in this room has lost someone, and that first year that you have lost them, this is the first year without mom, without dad, without my brother, my sister, or whatever it may be. And, you know, we all reflect on them and wish that they could be with us. And for that reason, it can set off a lot of illnesses and conduct. And it's you really have to be fortunate and, you know, focus on the positive and reach out to people. And if you see something, say something, and, you know, understand that, you know, this is a really hard time of year for people, as joyous as it may be.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, talk about a little bit about that priority to bring. Where did that, it's such an added benefit and resource to offer somebody, okay? But that, by the way, so very few practices do. Talk about the, you know, bringing the idea of bringing on somebody to help people who are in major stress.
What I have seen, it feels like, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, is that we have probably about 30% of our new patients that come in every month are workman's comp cases. And it seems to me like everyone knows now that we have somebody, a specialist there, that can handle the psychology part of it. It seems like every one of them want to be seen by her. You know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we didn't have anybody, and that never came up for conversation. But it seems like now everybody wants to use this lady who's helping us and helping the patients.
And Dr. Weinerman's a DO.
Yes.
And I think it fits with the DO's holistic approach mm-hmm. to treatment. You know, to have not only the physical part of someone's injury treated, but also the psychological or mental part of it.
Yeah. It is. I get emotional a little bit, especially around the holidays. If you can empathize with somebody who's in that frame of mind, okay, and it's a comfort to know you can talk to some, because a lot of people as your family. You know, you've been a breadwinner of your family, at least a major contributor. Now you can't hold your end up. At least maybe you're getting your the claim, okay? Maybe it's a claim petition, okay? One of the great things about everybody on this panel right now is you don't abandon people, okay, during those times, okay? You in your practice, when they get denied in their claim, at least first, you're not throwing them out.
No, we continue treatment. Okay, we don't make changes in their treatment because we have a denied claim. Okay, we work very close with the attorneys to make sure that all the petitions that are required to be filled out need to be done. When we get a UR and we get a bad decision, we still continue. We redo rebuttals for every bad decision, and we continue with the service to the patients because Dr. Weinerman's a very big advocate of making sure they're well. Not just doing it for the dollars or the bucks that may come in.
Well, it's interesting because that's for a patient, okay.
He's a great advocate.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Knowing people aren't going to abandon you during those times. I'll ask, and by the way, this is her idea, not mine. There's no out-of-pocket costs, right?
And
this is the contingency fee.
This is Joe's favorite topic. We talk about it every
when
show.
When she calls me, I'll be like,
oh, my goodness. And it's a good topic, though, because people don't realize.
Right. Well, that's right.
It's good to talk about.
And so think about it. You're hurt. You're not working. Okay. How can you afford top professionals like they're on this broadcast? Mm-hmm. Okay. You must be sitting there. And if you didn't know, and I even if we're helping one person per show, they don't know that they can walk into Will Braven's office and say, listen, here's my situation, and you're not sitting there going, okay, well, that'll be $1,000 an hour. Okay, talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. People tend to lump lawyers and their relationships with doctors into the category of that's weird, right? But the reality of it is that the allegiances that are formed there help patients get treatment where they need it.
Yeah.
And that can be a very real thing. And yeah, when there's a PI case and someone comes in and they can't afford treatment, you're sometimes working with them or your staff is working with them to help them get that treatment that they need that they haven't been able to get.
And you're not invoicing them.
No.
And that's the same with you, Sonny?
Yeah, same with me. And I was going to say, with the doctor's involvement in these cases, I mean, I know in my practice, especially in the workers' compensation side, I mean, the medical opinion makes or breaks the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just as the doctors are supporting the patient and my practice, we do the same with them. So if there's any issue where, you know, they should be paid and they're not being paid, we'll step in and we'll make sure that we file the appropriate petition.
Mm-hmm. So transportation, talk a little bit about that, if you would, Alexis, in regards to if somebody is you know, destitute and can't get to the office?
Yeah, so being located, we only have one location in Center City. We offer Uber for all of our patients, and then we also do septa passes if they prefer public transportation, and then if they do drive, we validate parking.
So there's no reason not to be able to go in a psychological standpoint down, you know, down is, you know, during this time of year, you know, whatever we can do to make people more comfortable during this difficult time. Having said that, you are a candidate for judge, correct?
Yes, I am presently, I just announced last week, so very timely, candidate for the Court of Common Pleas of Philadelphia County.
Wow.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Yeah, it's exciting.
Good luck.
You know, I feel like I'm in a good spot. I ran once before. I have some name recognition out there. And, you know, moving forward, there'll be about, it. Right now there are 7 vacancies. It'll probably be about 9. So I'll be one of the candidates vying for that. And I certainly appreciate the chance to, you know, share with your listeners. I'm running. My last name is Will Braveman. Very easy to remember. And please remember me in May during the primaries. I'm a union attorney. I was a City of Philadelphia attorney, and you've heard more about me earlier today, so I won't take up our time. But just out here trying to do the right thing.
Well, I can. Awesome. Yeah, and obviously, you know, we're big.
And I'm sure Will won't admit it, but it is a real community service because he can make a lot more money in his own private practice. Believe me.
Well, you know, and certainly. You know, I have a great admiration for those who want to serve the community and serve. What led you in that direction, wanting to go into the to be a judge?
Well, I've always wanted to serve the public. From when I was a law clerk to when I was even my grandmother had me doing volunteer work when I was like 9, 10, 12 years old. I was a City of Philadelphia Law Department attorney for 12 years, really enjoyed it, left and lost 120 sick days because I never took a single sick day. I really enjoy my job. I was like the Cal Ripken of the law department. I enjoy going to work. I enjoy helping people. And what I learned in those 12 years was I really like court. I like being in court. I like standing up. I like the drama of the courtroom. So that's a big piece of what led me to wanting to serve and serve in a role that I'm in court a lot. Just felt like a natural marriage of those two things, and also just help people. You know, one of the things that being a candidate last cycle showed me when I went around and spoke to all of the wards is, you know, just how bad things are in various communities around our city. And I think it helps to have people who really care deeply about Philadelphia, about Philadelphians, about the issues that are inherent, about the extreme poverty, the extreme crime rates that are rampant across our city. And about making sure that our streets are safe and that people are treated fairly.
Justice is a very interesting word, okay? And in the city of Philadelphia, obviously, you know, compassion is important, but at the same time, it's a fine line at times. First of all, for our listeners, what does a common pleas court judge do?
Great question. So in Philadelphia,
if you're going to be on our shows, get used to great questions. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. In Philly, the court system, right, has 3 levels: the trial level, the first court, the first appellate court level, and then the Pennsylvania Supreme Court level. So the trial level is split up into 2 courts: municipal court and Court of Common Pleas. So municipal court does traffic, they do landlord-tenant. And they do the kind of entry, the first point of contact of a lot of criminal cases. Court of Common Pleas does everything else. Okay, so the next level of criminal, major civil juries, major criminal juries, orphans court, family court.
Oh, wow.
The Court of Common Pleas has 93 judges presently in it and 7 vacancies. Municipal court has a lot fewer judges. It's much more scaled down operation because their jurisdiction is more narrow. So the Court of Common Pleas focuses on civil and criminal in those regards.
So like murder cases too?
Yes, that's wow. Common Pleas, yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
My thought about the Court of Common Pleas is it affects people's lives directly as opposed to the appellate courts where you're more or less there to create or interpret the law. But, you know, judges on the Court of Common Pleas actually affect people's lives.
A lot of people talk about being on a jury. and the important and being on a jury of your peers. Personal injury is the same way. So they do personal injury in Philadelphia also, right? So so is that in the common pleas or is it?
Yes, jury trials are in the Court of Common Pleas, and it's a very important service. I would urge anyone who has the chance to do it, and you know, you can get off from work and you're not losing money, to take advantage of that and serve and be that, you know, peer who sits on a jury. I found it fascinating, but a lot of people just want to kind of get out of it because they cut you like a $9 check at the end of the day, and you're like, really? Really?
I've been picked. It's like $9.
Really?
My case was interesting, but we ended up going like, I think it was 4 days that we ended up being there.
I heard that it was a traffic situation and you
no.
you went for held life out. In prison. That's
no.
ridiculous.
Alexis wow. held out.
You went
no.
hard.
No, it was actually, it was
very
sad.
Strict.
It was yeah. sad.
You know, and so it's a way for, we've talked to many people about, you know, the importance of it's your way to, you know, a jury of your peers is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you're in federal court is a jury of your peers, but your peers, you know, range from Lancaster, PA, all the way down. You know, it's not, if you're from Philly, yeah. if you're an African-American from Philadelphia in you know, and you're from North Philadelphia, and you're in federal, you know.
Yeah, those folks in the jury box are truly your neighbors as opposed to federal court where they could be across the state.
Right, so their definition of a jury of your peers is a totally different ball game.
Yeah, that's something that it's interesting that you touch on that because I'm trying to change that with regard to employment discrimination cases.
Right.
I actually wrote a memo and I'm actively advocating on discrimination cases where the only jury you get is in federal court, which the problems you just laid out very nicely. If we amend a municipal law called the Fair Practices Ordinance, we can bring juries on discrimination cases to state court where they will be much fairer because the Pennsylvania Constitution actually says, and this is a quote, the right to a jury trial shall remain inviolate, meaning untouched, meaning absolute. So, you know, that right is really, when you look at state versus federal juries, it's really not being adhered to for people who end up in federal court, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, having said that, obviously, election's in May, and we're going to have you back on the program. I will say that, obviously, electing good judges is such a priority. Mm-hmm. It's one area where your life can be impacted right there. And so justice, absolutely. You know— And I'll tell you, and I don't want to brag, but Jack Shapiro, when he ran for governor, it was real close, and then he came on our show, and it put him right over the top.
Well, okay,
so Weinemann Pain and Wellness is in the house.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to brag. Same for Sherelle Parker. I'm not, you know. Having said that, there is an interesting. You do a lot of employment law, and here's an interesting segue, where everybody works together at the same table. Somebody gets injured on the job, okay? Okay, and here's an area where I don't know how every workers' compensation, attorney doesn't have a good relationship. Obviously, you know, Sonny invited you on the show and has done so. You've been on many shows before. However, the one key of every workers' compensation case is somebody's afraid of being fired when they get injured on the job. Okay, they're afraid. By the way, we just had this situation with an iron worker where, he called me up and was afraid to get it. He needed a second opinion, but afraid to go to a lawyer because he's afraid to lose his job. Okay, thankfully, Dr. Weinemann immediately gave him the second opinion, and there was no issue because it was a union guy. There was nothing in his collective bargaining agreement that prevented him from that. Having said that, let's talk about that scenario. We got about 10 minutes left. I'd like to get where we're all working together. Okay, Sonny, I'm sure you've never heard this before. Can I lose my job? Legally, you can't, but...
Yeah, I mean, you can because most employees in the state of Pennsylvania are at-will employees,
right.
And they can be fired for any reason short of a constitutional violation. But if it's a retaliatory termination, there's a specific lawsuit that can be filed against the employer for taking action against you, for terminating you, because you pursued a workers' compensation claim.
In that area, will you want to jump in there? Because I'm sure you've dealt with this about a million times.
Oh, my God. Twice a day. How about that? I'm not kidding. So that what Sonny just discussed is known as the public policy exception to at-will employment. There's a public policy umbrella. So if you do certain things like you fire someone in retaliation to filing a work comp claim, we have a public policy that says people should be able to file work comp claims. So that's a public policy exception where you can bring a case against an employer. Another example would be if you're picked for jury duty for 4 days and they fire you, right? Wow. Again, public policy exception. And we refer to that colloquially in the employment discrimination world as wrongful termination, right, due to a public policy. Other than that, Sonny's absolutely right. You're an at-will employee, and you can be fired for any reason or no reason at all unless it's employment discrimination retaliation, whistleblower retaliation, or a public policy exception. Those are kind of the three buckets that I try to look at when someone calls me.
Sonny, what is that conversation like with somebody, okay, when they're sitting there and they're they've been working long, like Mitch, like we just had, long-time employee, this guy 30 years, and, you know, they're sitting there having that conversation. I don't sometimes, because of this situation, okay, everybody's sitting in this room, I don't know how you actually convince somebody, by the way, your arm is hanging, you know, in our situation, it should go on, I knew this guy, he's a friend of mine, I've known him for 30 years, but he's been out of work for a while, getting terrible medical treatment from the panel, wasn't even a physician, okay, and wouldn't give him they wouldn't give him an MRI or anything like that. But how do you deal with that situation? I'm afraid to do anything, even though I'm badly injured.
Be surprised. It actually happens quite a bit that people are afraid to pursue a workers' compensation claim because they don't want to lose their job, especially a job that they've been at for years. They've got great benefits. Their family has great benefits because of the job that they've held for years. It takes a lot of convincing, to say, listen, you've got a serious injury, and if you don't do something about it now, you actually might be jeopardizing your ability to return to work.
Mitch, in our world, when they talk about medical, when they walk in, I'm sure you have the same. You did have the same conversation with somebody, and they're afraid of literally their own shadow, and they're badly injured, like the guy that Dr. Weinerman saw for 2 hours after he was sitting there. This is a union iron worker foreman who's been injured for 3 weeks to a month, treating with one of those work comp places. And in a situation where they want to give him, he's a smart guy. This guy's been a foreman for 30 years, right. But still concerned of losing the job. And he wants to, he calls me up. The business manager calls me up and says, well, you got a little problem here because this guy's been injured for three weeks. They won't give him diagnostics. He's had naturally the x-ray, which didn't, show anything. And now they want to give him a prescription of what type of therapy. I immediately, haven't done these shows a lot, and was furious because this guy was smart. He goes, "How can you give me a workout regimen if you don't know what's wrong with my?" And I'm 3 weeks in this, okay. And so Dr. Weinerman was great enough to give him a second opinion and give him a place to fall, okay. But what is your advice in that situation there? Well, because this guy's now is his actual injury. Is it at risk? We're talking about the law and all while this guy may be deteriorating physically.
So I have two pieces of advice. One, if you see something, say something the day that it occurs, fill out a report. If your employer doesn't let you fill out a report, you call the police. You get a report filled out. If you're off site or if you're driving, if you're on your way to work, sometimes work comp can apply. If you're just leaving, it depends. Okay, that's a piece of advice number one. File a report. Piece of advice number two is call Sonny. Call a lawyer who knows about disability cases or personal injury cases or work comp. I don't do work comp, but call a lawyer, That's the person who can immediately get you the treatment that you need, because make no mistake about it, the people that the employer often sends you to are employer people. So of course they're going to make findings consistent with it saving the employer money, because that's why they're continuing to be a lot allied with
them. And this is where the contingent fee is so important, because the lawyer doesn't get paid until he actually gets you a recovery.
So don't
be afraid to see a lawyer.
Mitch, how do you rehabilitate somebody who walks in your office who's been beat up by a panel like this situation where he now went from having, you know, his family doctor his whole life. He's, you know, obviously your doctor's your lifeline, to getting beat up. Well, they wouldn't even, and now he walks into your office. Okay. I mean, I know how you guys did it with this particular guy, but how do you handle that situation to gain his confidence back? Because he's now gun shy.
Well, the system is kind of rigged.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's so much misinformation there. And when you're talking with your employer's medical staff, okay, where the referral goes to, the people employees do not recognize what they need to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the biggest problem, because there's, you know, until you get hurt, it's a non-issue. It only becomes an issue when you get hurt in some fashion. And there is some miscommunication, Sonny, I'll give this back to you, in that during the 90-day panel review, okay, can they see a Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Or do they have to wait until the 91st day to see somebody?
That's a good question.
Well, the employer has to do two things in order to protect that 90-day treatment period with the panel doctor. They have to give the injured worker a list of 6 doctors to choose from for treatment, and they have to have the injured worker sign what's called a 90-day injured worker bill of rights, advising the injured worker that they're required to treat with the employer or panel doctor for the first 90 days.
But they can get a second opinion,
if they
right?
don't do both of those things, then they're never required to treat with the panel physician. And if they need surgery, they don't have to get the surgery from the panel doctor.
So they can come and see Dr. Weinerman if those two things weren't done.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
From day one.
Yeah, they can treat with that.
Wait until the 90 days.
But here's
the
other
expires.
Question. Even if they do meet those requirements, which most of them, they can still get a second opinion, right?
They can get a second opinion. But unless that second opinion says that they need surgery, they would have to continue treating with the panel doctor until the 90 days is up.
Right, and that is,
and unfortunately, the second opinion doctor doesn't get paid because they were seen.
But that's where the relationship with the attorney fighting for the medical provider
exactly.
You know, it's a crazy. Well,
does that mess up the case? So, like, if they do those two things, mm-hmm. and they have to see the panel doctor for 90 days, and they have to wait to come and see Dr. Weinerman or a doctor that you would like them to see.
Right.
Does that mess with your case, or does that do anything different? Or
no, because quite often the panel doctor doesn't do much during the 90-day
period.
That's what
I thought.
As we discussed, quite often they don't even send the injured worker to get diagnostics.
Yeah, never. Usually never, honestly.
CAT scans and things of that nature.
I am an iron worker, so don't take my legal advice, but I've learned this from everybody on this panel. If they cut you loose, you can then go treat with Dr. Weinerman.
Yeah.
And the importance of what Joe was saying about getting a second opinion during that 90-day period, if the second opinion doctor says, listen, I'd probably stay away from aggressive physical therapy until you get a diagnostic study, you know, then the injured worker, even though they have to treat with the panel doctor for the rest of the 90 days, they can kind of adjust their treatment during that period and say, listen, I'm having too much pain to do active physical therapy right now, so let's just do passive until the 90 days expires and they can see their own doctor and get the diagnostic
study. I just
want
to add
study.
Something. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But we at Weinerman Pain and Wellness will treat that patient, do the study, okay? It's almost like a contingent patient, okay?
Yes.
We will do that because our practice is large enough to be able to do that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, and because of that, you know, I don't want anybody in this room to be afraid to send somebody to us.
Exactly.
Okay?
Absolutely.
It's Joe and I, like he keeps mentioning, that's one patient. We did that because of our relationship between us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I care about the guy as my friend, but I would care about anybody in that situation. But I sent him, obviously, I referred, they need a second opinion. I had so much confidence in Dr. Weinerman, and this guy was in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why it was so important. But if you don't have the right attorney, or if you don't get the right education at the point, you got a problem.
Yeah. I mean, most people think that they're required to treat with the company doctor after a work injury.
Well, and I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why they do.
Because the first thing they do is go to their boss and go, "What should I do?" Yeah. And it's not his first day on the job. And right. You know, even if the boss gave him the right information, we got about a minute left, and I want to get your go ahead.
Go to your union rep as well. I'll add that onto my prior
advice,
because your union rep, your steward, or whoever. They're going to steer you in the right direction. They're looking out for you.
Well, you're talking union. You got the best attorneys, the best advice. Let's do this. Around the horn, Alexis Crandall, contact information at Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Yes, you can email me at acrandall@winermanpainandwellness.com or call me directly, 484-356-6666.
Fantastic. Mitch Zibik?
I might add that Alexis is not a 9-to-5 employee. So yeah. If you get a patient at 8 o'clock at night, she's your girl.
And she always likes working. To be called.
She gives out her cell phone number.
She likes to be called after midnight. That's more important. If you're lonely and you just don't have... contact at the firm, but remind our listeners about the election.
Oh, yes. So running in the primary of May 2025, bravemanforjudge.com. That's the website there. My personal email is bravemanlaw@comcast.net. It's if you were to say I am a brave man, spelled just like that, and then the word LAW@comcast.net. My cell is 215-906-4973. And thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Sonny Banks, if you will.
Banks Law, 215-561-1000. And our web address is www.bankslaw.com.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Sonny Banks Show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Will Braveman.
Yeah, appreciate
of course, welcome. Sure. And thanks to Mitch Zibik for making this show happen and Dr. Weinerman. And, of course, Alexis Crandall, my favorite co-host with the most. On behalf of everybody and Lex, our producer, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.